Yeah. Here he is, our hero, Tyler Sagan. Hey, man.
Hey, guys.
Happy playoffs. Happy Friday.
What's going on? Happy Friday.
It's with these two-day gaps. We need more hockey.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
You like a two-day gap? I think it's nice. Stretch your legs a little bit.
Maybe one. Not we've had two of them. I like that. Tomorrow's game's at 2 o'clock. That's nice.
We like games that are 5-1 stars.
Yeah.
Can we do more of those?
Honestly, I said after the game too, I was like, I don't know if we've had a game like that all year where it was, you know, 3-4 goals so early.
And right.
It's definitely a different game. It's not really typically our style, but I guess it's playoffs and you want to adapt to any style.
You know, that was the thing about Game 3, and I had a weird way of watching Game 3, Mr. Sagan, in that I knew the outcome before I watched it, which is I don't want to do that during the playoffs very often, but life gets in the way. Anyway,
you knew the outcome.
I was overseas for Game 3. And so I woke up and I had to know the score right when I woke up, and then I hit play on the game. So it's a little weird. Anyway,
cheater.
I did cheat, but I would say I felt really solid about Game 3 after watching it, and I thought to myself, they're fine. This thing is going to click. I don't think the power play is broken. I read some stories and everybody's freaking out about the power play. That's not a broken power play. That's just a power play that didn't score. It's a subtle difference, but it's a real difference, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's we leave it to all you guys to, you know, panic and, you know, write stories. I think we're pretty we've been a group that's had great composure all year, and, you know, in playoffs, that doesn't change, whether it's in a game or from game to game. I mean, we stay patient and we trust the process, and I know it's a little bit of a broken record now, but, you know, it goes with things like the power play. You know, we thought we had some good looks, and there was some things we wanted to change. So we had a good long meeting about the power play, and it was more of a players' meeting, you know, with us talking. And then, you know, the first period after all of that, we scored a little power play goal. So, you know, it just shows what we can do.
You're winning the process.
Mm-hmm. That's the goal every night, win the process.
What's your record for most times kicked out of the face-off circle in a series, do you think?
I don't know, but it's you know, last game it was definitely pretty high.
What?
All right, explain to an idiot, me, how do you get kicked out of a face-off? I don't totally understand it sometimes.
Sometimes it's cheating. Sometimes it's timing. I don't know. There's it's a little bit of a hot topic with me because I didn't like the linesman much last game, but, you know, it would have been a little bit worse if the game was a little closer. So I kind of just let it go. Sometimes it depends on the linesman. It depends on what he's allowing that night, what he's not allowing. You know, sometimes it's just an off night, but, you know, it wasn't really an off night or anything. I just didn't feel it a lot.
Is there any benefit in a little verbal disagreement on that sort of thing, or do you just do what he says and let somebody else take the draw?
Yeah, I'm not really the guy that gets into, you know, screaming matches with the linesman or refs. I'll, you know, say something immediately when he does that, you know, and then after a whistle or during the commercial, I'll physically go over and talk to him. In a pretty monotone, just kind of figuring out what he's seen, what he wants, you know, tell him my side of the story, because, you know, in a lot of face-offs, especially with good sentiment, they're going to go talk to the linesman before because they'll know what I'm doing, or I'll know what, let's say, Bonino's doing, and I'll give him a heads up being like, hey, he's cheating here with his left or right skate. So it's kind of a game in a way. But yeah, that was it.
This is Tyler Sagan, who is in the playoffs, all tied up at 2. What would you say has been the impact of Zuccarello?
I mean, immediate. You know, definitely one of our best playmakers. But, you know, he's already scored some big goals for us. So, you know, he's battling through, you know, his injuries this year. And he's been a huge addition to our team.
Yeah, it's been like making a trade. Like the trade deadline is right at the playoffs. It's kind of awesome. And he seems like he's a fan favorite right away, and I don't know. It seems like you guys all get along with him great as well.
Well, he's a he's the kind of, you know, first off, like, he's the kind of person that when he walks into a room, I mean, he's always been, you know, a good leader and a good person. So it's easy to adapt to him. And I think we have a pretty good hockey team that has open arms when it comes to players coming in. You know, we're a pretty easy group to get along with. And, you know, he's got a couple guys that he can talk in Norwegian and Swedish with as well. And it was just a good fit, you know, immediately. And, you know, when he was out and hurt, you know, it wasn't like he was on our team. He was still bonding with the guys, and, you know, hanging out with us all the time. And, you know, I think you see that impact when he missed many games, but came back and felt comfortable right away.
He's fluent in Swedish, you say?
Yeah, I guess Norwegian and Swedish is pretty close.
Okay.
I think they, so like when he's talking to Klingberg, they talk and he'll talk in some Norwegian, and but he'll understand some Swedish, and I don't know, they go back and forth. I don't quite know the language, obviously, but they're always talking in it. So.
Okay. This is Tyler Seguin here on The Ticket. 2-2, now the series. And one of the other things that was amusing from Game 4 was Dak and Zeke in the locker room. And the reports that Zeke wanted pictures with the Finns, and that I forget, Monty said something funny to Zeke, I think. I think everyone, no offense to Dak, he is the quarterback and all, but he seems... I don't know what the word is. There's no question when they're both standing there,
he's
though.
He's more buttoned up.
Everyone
is, Zeke's the party guy.
Everyone wants to kind of see what Zeke's all about with that hair and just whatever. So I don't know if that matches your story, Tyler, but what was that like?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Zeke's had some story about his dad and some Finns or something in Finland. So I don't know. He went and talked to the Finns right away. And then we kind of just, you know, shot around with Dak and them. And, yeah, I mean, it's I've been saying since day one when I got to Dallas, you know, it's not a historic hockey fan base, but it's a heck of a sports city. And, you know, all sports teams kind of come together. And, you know, we're always out of Rangers games or Mavs and everything supporting them. And, you know, it's nice to see other teams coming to support us as well.
Tell me about – I know this has been going on for a while, but what exactly do you do with the post-game cowboy hat?
It's whenever you win a game, a player gets it, and whoever gets it the next time you win a game, whoever got it that game, they'll give it out to someone else based on the game and who we thought, you know, earned it the most, whether it was a big goal or it was our goalie making big saves or it was, you know, someone making big, you know, block shots at the end of the game. So it depends night to night, but, you know, the cowboy hat goes to whoever our team or that person thought, you know, had the biggest effect on the game.
So who has it right now?
Question. I don't remember who got it last game. I think Rupe got it.
Okay.
The ace of spades.
Hey, you know.
I think Kane's got it.
So Bishop let in a couple of goals in that game.
Game three.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then, sometimes goals do go in on our goalies, yeah.
Yeah. but, like, the announcers were saying, and then I'm thinking, oh, this is true, kind of, but I wonder if we could talk to a hockey player to see if it's true. Like, they were like, all right, so the offense now, you know, Bishop's bailed them out all year long. They really want to bail him out here. And then it felt like you did that in Game 4, too, just with an explosion. Is that actually what the offense is thinking?
I think our team is, you know, thinking, you know, even in a game like Game 3 where a couple, you know, goals that Bish would obviously like to have back, you know, we're obviously thinking, hey, you know, we want to go out there and win this one for him. I mean, we wouldn't be, you know, sitting here playing hockey if it wasn't guys like Bishop or Keogh. I mean, you know, they've been our backbone all year. And, you know, obviously going into Game 4, you know, after Bish let in a couple of those goals, he liked that back. We knew he was going to come out and, you know, play great, which he did. I mean, he's an ultimate pro and, you know, one of the best goalies in the world. So you expect that. And, you know, same goes for their team. You expect Becker Rene, he's going to come out tomorrow and he's going to be a hard guy to get the puck by. So, you know, these guys are, you know, all world-class goalies, and that's why both teams are where we are.
So as we talk about this series and these games that go back and forth and the series that goes back and forth, it's fascinating and it's wonderful and it's exhausting and it's 2 weeks and all that, but when you guys go on the road, I often say it feels like objective number one is surviving the first 10 minutes, because generally the home team, especially if they're desperate, will roll out like like their hair's on fire or their pants are on fire. Something's on fire, and they throw everything they can at you early to try to get an early knockout. Do you guys preach the same thing, or is that just a thing a media guy might say?
A bit of both. I mean, I think sometimes it depends where you're playing. I think every game in Nashville, including the regular season, you know how they come out, you know, in the first 5-10 minutes, and you got to survive that storm or even go after them. So I think our message tomorrow is going to be go after them. It depends sometimes where you're playing. I mean, you saw how, you know, we got some momentum when, you know, our line got put back together there in the third period at the end there of the game. And, you know, that's why we started game four to try to get it right away. And, you know, momentum is a huge part of, you know, hockey, especially in playoffs. You know, whether it's every shift or every period or every game, when you got it, do everything to keep it. And when you don't have it, do everything you can to get it back.
Are you on off nights? Are you fascinated by some of these other series? What's jumping out at you across the league?
I mean, there's a lot of good series. You know, I think we're all wondering how San Jose was going to respond to Vegas. I mean, they gave them a good whacking there on home ice, and, you know, San Jose responded at home too, and, you know, got the series back to a closer one. So I think we watch more of hockey probably on the road, because a night like tonight, we'll get dinner, and then pretty much our whole team will go into one suite and hang out and play cards and watch hockey, and at home, everyone does whatever they do.
St. Louis, Winnipeg's pretty wild. Five road teams have won in that series.
Yeah, and I think every game's been, you know, the team that's won has come back in the game by a goal or whatever. So it's playoff hockey. Anything can happen. You see it across the league every year. You always want to get into it because you just don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, Tampa Bay is a great example of that. Just get into playoffs. It's a whole new season and see what happens. Anyone can win.
What do you think of these 2 p.m. starts?
I like them. Every guy's different. I don't mind them. I enjoy, you know, waking up and just going and playing. You know, there's not much thinking in a 2 o'clock game. When it's an 8:30 game, those are a little bit more annoying because you have the whole day, and you know, it's just a long one.
Might you? I suppose there's no difference. I always feel like the later in the day, the more amped the crowd might be. But I guess in the playoffs, they can get jazzed for a 2 o'clock start too.
Yeah, I think that's just you being a media guy, maybe.
Yeah, I have a lot of theories going through my head.
You can do more drinking throughout the day.
Well, yeah, but
that's true. Maybe they're more buckled by the time the game starts. In us.
All right, so you're not in Nashville right now, are you? You guys still in Dallas?
We're taking off in like 30 minutes.
Okay, well, maybe get a good book for the flight, and we will talk with you next week, and we hope when we talk with you the series is either over in your favor or still. I don't know what will be happening next time we talk, Tyler, so keep winning hockey games.
I appreciate you knowing that I can read a book, so
I'm not going to challenge you any further on that. All right, there he goes. That's Tyler Seguin, who can, in fact, read books, we understand, here at The Ticket.